Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for finding time in your schedule to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Secret of Abiding Joy. And this week we've been looking at the book of the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And he had a concern. He was confused. He couldn't understand why God was not punishing the wickedness and the evil that he was seeing all around him. And God gave him an answer. He said, "I will." And he was going to punish the people of Judah because of their iniquity, because of their idolatry, because of their refusal to listen to the true word of the Lord. They had a bunch of prophets that were saying, everything's going to be just fine, and were grieving the heart of God by the fact that they had so fallen away from their love and devotion and worship of the living God. And so judgment was coming, and what we were looking at yesterday was the beginning of chapter 3. Habakkuk prayed a prayer. He said, "Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid." He was not happy to hear the judgment that was coming, the captivity, that Judah was going to be punished. He learned that he couldn't pray for deliverance from it. It was something God was going to accomplish, but he prayed that God would give them grace sufficient in it. If God wouldn't withdraw his punishment, then his prayer was that God would not withdraw himself. And so he prays, "Lord, I've heard thy speech. I was afraid." This is his prayer. He said, "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy." That literally means to preserve or make alive thy work. In other words, God's plan of judgment on Judah and then on in Babylon, in the midst of those years of captivity, God would melt their hearts. And even though in terms of current Israel, they may be very humanistic, those who aren't messianic, who haven't acknowledged their Savior, never again did they turn to false gods. After that 70 years, they learned, and God fulfilled the word through Jeremiah. They were able to return. We see that in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and how they were able to rebuild the temple. But God wants to revive His word in our hearts today, that we can be on fire for the Lord, that we can have the sense of perspective that Habakkuk did. Even though there may be evil and perilous times around us, God is not mocked. As a man sows, he will also reap. God is long-suffering and merciful. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's why He gives such and exhibits such patience and long-suffering, so men will have final opportunity to turn to Him. And if they don't, I mean, they will have no excuse when they stand before the Lord. They will have had opportunity, and their choice was, remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. We make that choice. We decide. We don't want His salvation. We've rejected Jesus. And so we need to pray in the hour in which we're living that God's word would be revived in our hearts, that to just as ancient Judah had to be ready against the day of their deliverance, in the midst of those years when God's wrath was being displayed, Habakkuk prayed, "Remember mercy." And what an understanding of God is displayed in this prayer of his. In the beginning, and this is human nature, he thought he saw injustice in God. It's like, "God, it's not fair. Why aren't you doing something?" And now he is satisfied that God's ways, though not fully comprehensible still our best. Do you believe that? Even though still angry with his people, God is a God of abounding mercy. And beloved, shouldn't we pray in a similar fashion for in the days in which we are now living, in behalf of our loved ones, in behalf of our nation, the nations of the world? That's, you know, Paul exhorted Timothy, pray for the salvation of men, for those who are in leadership. Godlessness, beloved, abounds everywhere. I don't have to tell you that. But Lord, hear our prayer. Revive thy work in the midst of these closing days of time. Even in the church, Lord, so many are lukewarm. They're apostate. But Lord, remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of these years so that there may be a preparation in the hearts of God's people, in the hearts of the people of the world, that they may be experience conviction. They may be ready for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the second coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then in verse 3, of chapter 3. Let me read that. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Think about that. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand that indicates power, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. He's waxing eloquent in terms of what God is going to do when his full wrath and his full judgments are going to be poured out, as we see throughout the Revelation. And so, are you aware, or do you accept, can you come to that peace, that resolution of faith in your own heart, that God is a God of abounding mercy, but also a God of justice? He will punish the wicked. And we should pray in these days in which we're living, Lord, remember mercy. In verse 3 of chapter 3, as I shared, he breaks forth into majestic language in praise of the person of God. He talks about the power of God, the purposes of God. That's, as I started to read some of them, verse 4 all the way through 16. Let me read just a few. Verse 10, the mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses through the heap of great waters. God knows how to judge. These verses dramatically present the appearance of God, accompanied by the awesome features of a violent storm. God's judgments in days past had included many of the features that are mentioned here: pestilence, judgment on rivers, the sea. And so we see that God will do that. We'll see, as we read the book of Revelation, we can see the judgments he's going to pour out upon the earth. And let's read now verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. This is this prophet speaking. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. So the pestilences and the burning coal or burning diseases that I shared, that relates to the plagues that had been poured out upon the Egyptians. And what do we see there? Well, the opening of the Red Sea brought salvation, and the parting of the Jordan brought deliverance. Remember, the Egyptians were all killed, the horse and rider thrown in the sea, and the parting of the Jordan, when the priests walked across, they entered in the promised land. God was fulfilling his word to deliver them and to give them the land of promise. The Lord then uncovered his bow and brought it into action. He subdued the nations which occupied Canaan, did he not? Joshua and Caleb understood this years before those 40 years of wandering. Remember, the 10 of the spies brought back an evil report of unbelief, and all the congregation, all the people of God, began to mourn and say, we should have never left Egypt. We should have stayed, because they, you know, what Joshua and Caleb were saying, he said, their defenses are departed from them. God is well able to give us the land. But they didn't hear. They instead murmured in unbelief. And so if God had fought for them, he subdued the nations which occupied Canaan. He gave the land to the tribes of Israel, just as he promised. Remember, Joshua said not one good word of his promises have failed. He even caused the sun and moon to stand still so that he might complete his victories. You remember that? Joshua spoke to the sun. He said, stand still. And it did. And there was a whole day that they battled, and God gave them victory. And if God had so wondrously wrought deliverance out of Egypt, would he not do it again to bring them out of Babylon? Praise God. So the analogy for us is clear. God will deliver. Praise God. Well, my time has again flown, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. It looks like we're going to be going into next week, but there's yet more ahead. I thank you for joining me. It's a privilege and an honor to minister God's word to you, and know that I pray for you every day, my UCM partners who are listening and those who are not, as well as my radio family. I do thank you for your prayerful support. We need your prayers. That's what has enabled us to go forward, the faithfulness and prayers of God's people since 1965, over 50 years. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.